Ignition running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Greetings, conversationalists. Welcome. It is Eric Erickson here across the United States of America. I am delighted to have you with me. The Republican National Convention is starting right now. John Stanford singing the national anthem at the Republican Convention. You can watch it live. The opening on, I know they're covering on CNN and Fox. MSNBC, well, they're having a bit of a moment, disappointed Donald Trump is still alive. Also happening right now, Antifa activists are marching through the streets of Milwaukee. You know, in an effort to bring down the temperature, they're marching through the streets saying, no Trump, no KKK, no fascists, USA. That's their chant as they march through the streets. The Biden campaign is also resuming fundraising after pausing their activities over the weekend. And sent out an email saying it would mean a lot to Joe to know you have his back today, especially today. All right. We also know that Donald Trump will be announcing his VP pick today. There are lots of speculation that it's J.D. Vance. J.D. Vance is got a motorcade going. Glenn Youngkin is winning the betting markets. A Trump Burgum website has been set up that redirects to the Trump campaign. So there are lots of mixed signals. The speculation is J.D. Vance, but the speculation is because J.D. Vance had a security detail show up this weekend at his home, but the governor of Ohio says that he's responsible for the security detail in light of the events of Saturday evening with Donald Trump. He just wanted his different elected officials to be protected. And so J.D. Vance and Sherrod Brown, the Senate Democrat who's from Ohio, both got security protection. It wasn't a Secret Service detail. People assumed that it was. But who knows? I don't know. We'll find out here in a little while who the vice presidential candidate is in about 2 hours, allegedly. This is breaking from ABC News. A senior campaign official says 4 minutes ago, Donald Trump has selected his running mate and has now informed that person that that person will be the running mate. That has happened in the last few minutes, according to ABC News. That's all I know. The word will start leaking out here soon. If it happens during the show, we'll stay with it. Right now, I want to talk about the court case. Judge Eileen Cannon has dismissed the Trump case. She has done so because of the special prosecutor's appointment. Until 1999, Congress authorized a statute, a special counsel statute, that was upheld by the Supreme Court as constitutional. Ironically, the vote on the special counsel statute was 8-1. The lone dissent was Antonin Scalia at the time, who warned that the special counsel would become a weaponized tool to undermine a president and that it was not constitutionally permissible because the person who could be put in place could be someone who had not gone through the process of appointment and confirmation, like U.S. attorneys, the attorney general, cabinet ministers, and the like. 8 members of the Supreme Court told him, shut up, Antonin. We're going with this. The problem is that in 1999, the special counsel statute expired. Instead, what happened is the Department of Justice drafted regulations. So Ken Starr was appointed under the special counsel statute, and the Supreme Court ruled it constitutional. Robert Herr was not. And Jack Smith was not. But you got to understand the nuances of this. And this goes to a Clarence Thomas concurrence in the immunity decision. Under the United States Constitution, lawyers of the United States, the U.S. attorneys in the various districts, the attorney general, the top officials of the administration, they're appointed by presidents of the United States, and they're confirmed with the advice and consent of the United States Senate. Jack Smith worked for The Hague in the Netherlands. Jack Smith had been a government prosecutor, but Jack Smith was not a government prosecutor when Merrick Garland named him the special prosecutor. Jack Smith was not appointed by the president and confirmed by the Senate to the role. That's the problem that Judge Cannon flags, is the Trump team made a motion after Clarence Thomas's concurrence, and she agreed that if you're going to prosecute at the level he's prosecuting with the powers of a U.S. attorney, U.S. attorneys have to be confirmed by the United States Senate, and Jack Smith never was. Now you're saying, wait a second, what about the Hunter Biden prosecution? Because that's a special counsel too. Except that one's different. The special counsel involved in Hunter Biden's case is a sitting U.S. attorney. So a sitting U.S. attorney was named special prosecutor. So that sitting U.S. attorney had been appointed by the president and confirmed by the United States Senate. Therefore, Judge Cannon's decision on Jack Smith is completely different. It's completely different because of the processes. There was no statutory authority. Now, Robert Herr was the U.S. attorney from 2018 to 2021. He was brought back into service as a special counsel, but he had resigned in February of 2021. Robert Herr was a practicing lawyer at a private law firm when he was called back up by Merrick Garland. Arguably, Judge Cannon's decision would apply to Robert Herr, except Joe Biden never contested the appointment of Robert Herr. He couldn't have done that, really, since it was his own administration that did it. But Donald Trump challenged it. So the difference is, and you need to understand this, I realize it's a little complicated, I'm trying to simplify it for you, is was the special counsel already appointed by the president and confirmed by the Senate and in office? Or was it someone brought forward by the attorney general and that person didn't go through the confirmation process? The Hunter Biden special prosecutor was a sitting U.S. attorney confirmed by the United States Senate. Jack Smith was actually an employee of The Hague in the Netherlands and brought back by Merrick Garland and was not confirmed by the United States Senate. That's a big difference. Now, procedurally, how's this going to play out? Well, there's two cases. There's the case in Washington, D.C., the January 6th case, with an Obama-appointed judge there, and there's Judge Cannon down in Florida. Judge Cannon, a Trump appointee, she said the appointments clause in the Constitution matters, and this case can't proceed because of Jack Smith's appointment. I suspect Judge Chutkan in Washington, D.C., who's a liberal who takes a more expansive view of the Constitution, will say, actually, Judge Cannon is wrong in Florida, and I'm right, and Jack Smith can go. That creates a split among the circuits. However, before you even get there, Judge Cannon's decision is going to be appealed to the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals in Atlanta, Georgia. The 11th Circuit Court of Appeals oversees the appeals of district court judges in Alabama, Georgia, and Florida. And the 11th Circuit will have a say as to whether or not Judge Cannon got it right. Now, if the 11th Circuit says she got it right or wrong, that gets appealed to the United States Supreme Court. If the 11th Circuit, if the Supreme Court automatically agrees with the 11th Circuit, they could just affirm the decision, but I doubt they would in this situation, particularly if Judge Chutkan rules otherwise and that gets appealed by Trump and the D.C. Circuit says Judge Chutkan is right. Then you have a real split in circuits. A real split in circuits is so every U.S. district court in every state is assigned a circuit. So you have, for example, the Southern District of Florida, you've got the Northern District of Florida, you got the Middle District of Florida, and all of those district court judges, their decisions then get appealed to the 11th Circuit, which handles all the cases and all the districts in Alabama, Georgia, and Florida. They then get appealed to the Supreme Court. The D.C. Circuit handles all the federal district court decisions in the District of Columbia, gets appealed to a special appellate court there, and they get appealed to the Supreme Court. When the appellate courts in D.C. and in the Southeast disagree, that's called the circuit split, and the Supreme Court typically takes cases that resolve circuit splits. All of that is to say it's going to be at least a year to 2 years before this were to get resolved. All of that is to say, if Donald Trump gets elected in November, which is increasingly likely, he's going to fire Jack Smith, which means this case goes away, which means the arguments are moot, which means Donald Trump's not going to be prosecuted, which means this is a nothing burger, which has meant that I've been right the whole time. It was a waste of time and energy and resources for Democrats to pour all of their resources, hopes, dreams, and ambitions into lawfare to get Donald Trump. They've tried to stop Donald Trump through the judicial process. They're not going to be able to. The judge in New York, I have a hard time believing after an attempted assassination of Donald Trump that they're going to be able to throw Donald Trump in jail. I don't think jail is likely. I don't think it was ever honestly that likely, but I think the odds of it now are completely gone away. I think that there's no way the judge in New York, however much he may want to throw Donald Trump in jail, is going to be able to. I think the Secret Service would have a lot of objection to that, given that Donald Trump was just nearly assassinated. And I think that if they attempt to throw him in jail, it's going to be rapidly appealable to a court of appeals that's going to say, you can't put this man in jail. Also, he's on the verge of being president of the United States. You can't do it. The legal card that the Democrats tried to play has collapsed. The legal card that the Democrats tried to use to get Donald Trump so they didn't have to beat him at the ballot box, it's gone. That train has left the station. There is no getting it back. They wasted all their time. Instead of making political arguments against Donald Trump, they've tried two things. They've tried to throw Donald Trump in jail through the judicial system, and they've tried to say he's a threat to democracy. The former has failed. The latter nearly got Donald Trump killed, and they can't make that argument anymore without looking like they're still trying to get Donald Trump killed. So all of the tools the Democrats had, all of the theories of the case the Democrats had, and all the strategies the Democrats had to stop Donald Trump are now gone. And the only thing between Donald Trump and the presidency is an 81-year-old man at war with the English language who doesn't know how to get off a stage without being directed. Democrats have believed for a while Joe Biden was not up to taking on Donald Trump. The debate on June 27th made it very clear to them that Joe Biden is not up to take out Donald Trump. So the question is, can they maneuver over the next few weeks before their convention to try to find a lay of the land to deal with the situation? I don't know that they can. I don't know that they can. But the moral of the story is, don't put your hopes in outside forces you can't control, and don't make threats to democracy your theme when it's going to get your other side possibly killed, and that's going to be the real threat to democracy. The Democrats have had no real game plan. What I am just, I just marvel at all the time is how incompetent the Biden team has been the whole way through.
Want to be on the show?
Hello?
I love your show.
Call Eric now at 877-973-7425. You can be live on Eric's show by calling 877-97-ERIC. That's 877-973-7425.
Welcome. It is Eric Erickson here across the nation. The phone number 877-973-7425. Glad to have you with me. All right, we got a lot more going on. I will tell you that Doug Burgum and Marco Rubio have been told they are not Donald Trump's pick to be vice president of the United States. The buzz in Milwaukee, I'm told by people who are there, is all about J.D. Vance. That being said, number of members of the media are being told to keep an eye on Glenn Youngkin, the governor of Virginia. But I am told very confidently that he had not even been talked to as of last week. So I don't know. I got no idea. But we're going to find out as soon as we can who the nominee is going to be. Word is probably going to leak out before Donald Trump actually announces. The announcement will come sometime around 4 p.m. today. Donald Trump has settled on his vice presidential pick. Doug Burgum has been told it's not him. Marco Rubio has been told it's not him. So I have no idea. In any event, we got more stuff to talk about. We got to revisit the talk of the assassination attempt on Donald Trump. Alejandro Mayorkas on TV had this to say.
To the former president should not occur. That is precisely why President Biden directed that an independent review of the incident occur. That will be done in close coordination with the FBI, which is conducting a separate criminal investigation, the importance of which cannot be overstated. We have to learn everything about the assailant, who, of course, the Secret Service so bravely and heroically neutralized. And we are going to really study the event independently and make recommendations to the Secret Service and to me so that we can assure the safety and security of our protectees, which is one of our most vital missions in the Secret Service, the Department of Homeland Security, and across the government.
I got to say, and I want to come back to this and I want to spend time on this, the how that roof was not covered was a major screw up. A major screw up. There are a lot of questions that have to be answered by the Secret Service, and someone should be fired or resigned for a screw up like that. Now, I got to tell you about my friends at Old Glory Bank, y'all, because boy, am I enjoying using this bank. When have you said enjoyed using this bank? I love that I can deposit cash at the local CVS by my house using the app. I love that I can, if I misplace my card, pause the debit card without having to just completely cancel it. If I find it, resume it. I've had to do that feature. No fee checking, no fee savings. They're just good people. And right now, they are doing loans, VA, conventional, FHA loans at competitive rates. They have quick closing times. If you refer a friend to Old Glory Bank for a home loan, their loan closes by September 1st. You get $250 and a signed John Rich Old Glory Bank hat. I've got one. They sent me one. You get home ownership for your friend, and you get $250 as a nice bonus with the signed cap from John Rich. All you do, oldglorybank.com. Oldglorybank.com. Terms and conditions apply. Old Glory Bank stands with you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS number 834337. Oldglorybank.com.
Smart, fearless, and occasionally funny. You're listening to The Eric Erickson Show.
Hello, America. Welcome. It's Eric Erickson here. The phone number, 877-973-7425. My apologies. I understand that the show disappeared off radio stations for a little while. There was apparently a massive technical glitch through the distribution facility where we send the show. And so we worked to get it back on. But my apologies for difficulties for those of you who experienced that. Can we just pause? I want to get to phone calls here in a minute. Let me get to the news bulletin real quick. Donald Trump has told Marco Rubio and Doug Burgum they will not be the vice presidential candidate. Donald Trump has now announced he will be on stage at 4:30 p.m. at the Republican National Convention with his running mate. The buzz is J.D. Vance. We do not know for sure if it will be J.D. Vance. There's been a lot of speculation about him in the last few days. Donald Trump said he was going to make some surprise announcements as well. So we have no idea. Also, Nikki Haley is suddenly in Milwaukee and will be on stage with Donald Trump at some point. We have no idea. But it's not going to be Marco Rubio, and it's not going to be Doug Burgum. If you go to the Drudge Report, it says Ben Carson. I have a hard time believing that one, but maybe so. Vance would be a legacy play because he doesn't actually demographically give you anything, but he certainly does lock in your agenda. Glenn Youngkin of Virginia, there's rumors in the media about him. I talked to his people last week. They had said he had not even been talked to. They didn't think it would be him. And that situation appears not to have changed. He still appears to be in Virginia. Maybe Tim Scott. I have no idea. We'll find out at 4:30. Kudos to Donald Trump for keeping a secret. He's done a brilliant job keeping a secret. Now, I want to just talk to you for a minute. I'm going to scrap everything else. I'll get to your phone calls here. Just let me talk to you for a minute. It's been a wild week for me. So last Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, I recorded my audiobook 6 hours every day and did a 3-hour radio program. And on Friday afternoon, I ended my show saying, I'm going to go play golf with my buddy Benton Palmer. Grill this, smoke that, if you follow him on Instagram. We hadn't actually met in person. We were going to go play golf. And I was going to sleep in this weekend, and I was going to have rest. That turned into 5 hours of radio on Saturday night, and then another hour of trading emails and text messages with different Republicans and members of the media. Got to bed at 2 a.m. Sunday morning, and then did noon to 5 p.m. on Sunday, and now 3 hours here, and I'm trying to weasel myself out of a TV hit this afternoon so I can rest. And maybe this vice presidential announcement will get bumped. And then in the meantime, here today, a technical glitch beyond our capacity to control caused the radio show to disappear off radio stations for a little while. It's been a wild time. Yesterday, after I got off air at 5 o'clock, I went to my local Publix grocery store. A man pulls up. I do not recognize the man. Younger black guy, has his kid in his back. He's in a white Tesla. He rolls down his window and he says, "Hey, I saw you at the traffic light and I followed you over here. You don't remember me, but I worked at this Publix years ago. When you said what you were going to do on radio, and I told you God's got you where he wants you, and I want you to know you're going to succeed because God wants you to succeed, and he's got a plan for you." He rolled up his window, and he drove away. I have no idea who this person was. Very nice, very encouraging, after a long 48 hours. But can I just tell you, in the crazy chaos that we have going on right now, a former president came within an inch of dying, came within a 5-degree turn of his head to having his head blown off yesterday by an AR-15 from a crazy person who was missed in a colossal security screw-up. Less than a month ago, Democrats were completely unified in stopping Donald Trump. And then Joe Biden walked out on a debate stage and came very close to losing his political career. The Democrats are now in chaos. Republicans are very united as they gather in Milwaukee, Wisconsin for the Republican convention this week. It's the Democrats who are now in disarray. For the first time in a while, we've seen Republicans ousting speakers of the House. We've seen plots to oust the present Speaker of the House. We've seen disarray, disunion, disharmony, fighting among Republicans, Republican versus Republican. Events change things. I say this often, and I need to remind you, events change things. None of us expected Joe Biden to have a great debate on June 27th, 2024 in Atlanta, Georgia, but none of us expected it to be that bad. In fact, arguably, Donald Trump didn't actually have a great debate. He just happened to be next to Joe Biden and made him look like he had a great debate. The aftermath, the fallout, the collapse of Biden's support, the backstabbing of the Democrats, the turn and disastrous move by the Democrats gave Donald Trump a leg up. And then, two nights ago, in Pennsylvania, in the field, a madman tried to blow Donald Trump's brains out. Instead, killed a 50-year-old man who had just had his birthday. Giorgia Meloni is the prime minister of Italy. She has posted this tweet. I will read it to you in English. She wrote it in Italian. Cori Comparatore had just turned 50. He was a former fire chief, an Italian-American of Calabrian origins. He died a hero, acting as a shield for his wife and daughter, standing between them and the bullets detonated by the attacker who fired during Donald Trump's rally in Pennsylvania. Cori sacrificed his life to save that of his loved ones, instinctively and without a moment's thought. A gesture of love and extreme altruism, which can only be honored. To all his family members, I renew my deepest condolences. Rest in peace, Cori. That's Giorgia Meloni, the Italian prime minister. Events change things. I assure you that family did not go to that rally thinking that would be the last day they saw their father. Events change things. If you read my latest book, You Shall Be As Gods, which I had to reread last week and found typos in the finished product that just drove me insane. It's a good book. There are a handful of typos. There's a stray parentheses that shouldn't be there and things like that. One of the things I write in the book is God's got a plan. He's sovereign. You know, Scripture says that not a hair is going to fall off your head without it being part of God's plan. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm not trusting in politicians to save me. I'm not trusting in the plans of politicians, and I don't think you should either. These are wild and chaotic times. And what I'm told to do is to love my neighbor. And you should consider that as well. And sometimes it's hard, y'all. Sometimes it is really hard. It can be really hard. But we should certainly try. If you want to calm the tensions in the country, love your neighbor. You can't change Washington. You can't change your state. But you can change your immediate community. And if everybody does that and changes all their communities, well, then all the communities change, which does change your state, which does change the nation. Love your neighbor. Change your local community. These are crazy, chaotic times. And events change things, and they're all part of some divine plan I don't understand. But just pause for a moment and breathe. And all the chaos and all the craziness and all the madness, you may not see it. You may not understand it. You may not be able to process it. But there's some plan out there, and everything's going to be okay. And if you've got a part to play, the part to play is this. Love your neighbor. Just love your neighbor. You can't control anything else. Even when your neighbor doesn't want you to love them, love your neighbor. There's a dead kid in Pennsylvania who his neighbors didn't love him. We know he was a loner who was repeatedly and ruthlessly bullied when he was in high school. And we don't know what switch flipped, but he decided to try to assassinate a presidential candidate and instead himself got killed. Love your neighbor as yourself. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Not don't do, but affirmatively do. I don't know what's going to happen tonight. I don't know who Donald Trump's vice presidential pick is going to be. I don't know what's going to happen when the sun goes down or when the sun rises. I don't know. I've got no idea. There's not a whole lot of it that's in control. There's not a whole lot of it in my control. There's very little of it in your control either. But that which you can control best. Just take a breath. Calm down. God's got a plan. And your role is to love your neighbor. Now, Andrea, I'm going to go to your call. Welcome to the show. How are you?
Hey, Eric, I'm fine. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I know the Democratic Party is not very pleased with the Biden-Harris ticket, but they must stay because of all the financial contributions made. However, is there any scenario that, say, Ms. Harris could, I don't like this political atmosphere, I don't want to be shot, I'm resigning, and they replace VP with someone they like going forward?
You know, they very well could. Yeah, absolutely, Andrea. They could replace her at the convention. I doubt they would, and here's why. Being the first black female vice president of the United States means something. They picked her, frankly, as a diversity pick. They wanted a black female because black females in South Carolina are what pushed Joe Biden across the finish line. And even though there are African-Americans who say she's not one of us because she's Indian-Jamaican descent from an immigrant family, she checks the diversity box for the Biden administration. You know, they're spitting mad when you point that out, but it's God's honest truth. I mean, Joe Biden himself said so. They could replace her, but they're not going to replace her. The tickets that we have right now are more likely than not going to be the ticket on the ballot in November. I said even after the meltdown of Joe Biden on the debate stage, the odds were Joe Biden remains the Democratic nominee. This is coming to fruition because the inertia. Things in motion stay in motion until an equal and opposite force reacts on it. Things that are not in motion do not go into motion until an opposite force reacts. And it is very hard to stop the momentum of an existing presidential campaign, particularly one with $200+ million in the bank. So I don't think they will shake it up, even if they should. Now, Hillsdale College wants to send you a copy of the Declaration of Independence. It is a masterful document that you can get from Hillsdale by going to ericforhillsdale.com, E-R-I-C-K, ericforhillsdale.com. You go to ericforhillsdale.com, you put in your information, you watch a great video on Thomas Jefferson. You really should, by the way. Did you realize that he was actually invited to give a speech on the 50th anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence? He was in poor health and very elderly. He sent a letter with his thoughts on the Declaration of Independence, and he happened to die the day he was supposed to give the speech on the 50th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence, the same day John Adams died. Same day. Two friends who became rivals who became friends again. It's a remarkable bit of history, a remarkably poignant bit of American history. If you go to ericforhillsdale.com, you can find out that history. You can find out about Jefferson's thoughts on the country and how it had evolved in the time since the Declaration of Independence. Get a copy of the Declaration of Independence. You go to ericforhillsdale.com, E-R-I-C-K, ericforhillsdale.com.
When the world seems crazy, he'll keep you sane. It's the Eric Erickson Show. Get the podcast, live stream, email, and social media links by texting Eric to 33777 now.
Welcome. There's some breaking news. It's Eric Erickson here. Tom Winter, probably the best national security reporter in the United States, he's with NBC News, is confirming from multiple people within the FBI they have accessed the phone of Thomas Crooks, the Trump would-be assassin. And based on the information gleaned thus far, they are not yet sure of motivation for shooting at Donald Trump. You should know, left-wing outlets are publishing stories claiming that the reason this guy was advancing, attempted to kill Donald Trump, is that he helped to bring about a right-wing revolution led by General Flynn. I have a hard time believing that, but the left is seeding lots of conspiracy theories to try to claim that this guy was some right-wing guy who thought Donald Trump was too liberal. We'll see what plays out over time. Neil, you're going to be the last caller today. Welcome to the show. How are you?
Doing well. How about yourself?
Great. What's going on?
So, just had a question. With the events from the southern border and now the events this past weekend, how is that going to impact the calls for impeachment from Mayorkas?
I actually think everything's going to be put on hold, to be real honest with you. I don't see how they have the time or capacity, given the limited schedule between now and November, to do it. Now, Mayorkas was already impeached by the House, but the Senate refused to advance the nomination or advance the cause. They didn't even want to hear it. Biden is held up in committee, and my understanding from Republicans in Congress is they're just going to essentially squash it and not let it go anywhere at this point. They think they've got him. They don't want to make him sympathetic to people through looking like they're being bullied. It's not going to pass the Senate anyway. So they put it on pause to see if they can just beat him at the ballot box. I don't think we're going to see any impeachments advance at this point. However, that being said, there are going to be some serious investigative oversights in the House and the Senate. The Senate Democrats and Republicans, to their credit together, are really enraged about the Secret Service. And the reason why is because while Capitol Police tend to provide security for everyone and federal agents tend to provide security for the Speaker of the House, so the Secret Service plays a role in this, particularly with high-profile senators. And if they could leave open a line of sight for Donald Trump, they could leave open a line of sight for them. They're all kind of furious because they all understand that this elevates the stakes, that someone really could die. And they all want to get to the bottom of what happened. There's going to be a lot of pressure on the head of the Secret Service to resign. Of course, Joe Biden doesn't ever fire anybody. Look at the aftermath of Afghanistan. Look at his debate performance, all that. He doesn't fire anybody. But Democrats and Republicans both are really furious about what's happened. So we'll see. Now, let me give the rundown here. It is almost 3 o'clock. In 3 hours and 18 seconds, the Republicans begin their roll call vote for the nomination of Donald Trump. He has been nominated by the chairman of the Iowa Republican Party and seconded by the chairman of the Nevada State Republican Party. Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House, currently presiding over the Republican National Committee, and they will kick off this state roll call vote for Donald Trump's nomination, at which point Donald Trump will formally be the nominee of the Republican Party, even without a speech on Thursday night. Going to be a big deal. And then at 4:30, Donald Trump will take the stage after the roll call of the states with his vice presidential nominee. We know it's not Doug Burgum. We know it's not Marco Rubio. We do not know who it is. The betting markets have J.D. Vance. Drudge Report has Ben Carson. The media has Glenn Youngkin of Virginia. I have no idea whatsoever. So we'll see. Apparently now Tim Scott, according to some reporters as we're leaving, have said it's not him, but I don't know. We'll find out. I mean, it's most likely going to be